W.H. Kellogg, in his commentary in the book of Leviticus, says the book of Leviticus is the most important book in the Bible. Most people, when they think of the book of Leviticus, they think of one of the books that they want to skip over. But this morning we want to look at Leviticus chapter number 1. And we want to look at our Savior and His worship. We want to look at our Savior and His worship. Now, the setting of the book of Leviticus is at the gate of the tabernacle. And 90% of the book of Leviticus are direct quotes from the Lord to Moses. And so if you want to go to a book that is full of word-for-word words, obviously every book of the Bible is directly word-for-word the Word of God, but these are direct, 90% of this book are direct quotes from the Lord to Moses at the door of the tabernacle, at the institution of the worship of the Lord in the tabernacle. And so if you, we look at the book of Leviticus, we see, some very specific, teaching of the Lord, concerning, man's access to God and how he is to be worshiped and how we are to have fellowship with him. In chapter 1, we have the beginning of the offerings of the Lord. And they are delineated in these chapters. And we are going to be talking about the first of those offerings to the Lord. The Lord is prescribing the very details of these offerings and how they are to be given, and every detail is very specific and very important. And so this morning we're going to look at the burnt offering, and we are going to look at this offering that is prescribed to the people of Israel. And these offerings and this offering pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as gives us God's prescription for the worship of God. And we live in a day in which everybody wants to do it their own way. All we, like a sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. People want to think they can get to heaven their own way. People think they can worship God their own way. Well, this is the exact opposite of that. This gives us the Lord's way. And as we look at this morning, we will see that this is a picture for the Old Testament peoples of, is prophetic of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only is it prophetic to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's also a prescription of how we are to worship God. And you'll find that there are some very distinct truths in here that are very different than common thinking and very different than secular thinking about worship of God. And so, first of all, we're going to look at the description of our Savior and his death as prescribed in the offering called the burnt offering. Verse number 1, and the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest Aaron's sons shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar, that it that is by the door of the tabernacle of his congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest Aaron's son shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall be washed in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar, to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep, or of the goats, for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish. And he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. And the priest Aaron's son shall sprinkle his blood round about upon the altar. And he shall cut it into his pieces, with his head and his fat. And the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire, which is on the altar. But he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water. And the priest shall bring it all, and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves, or of young pigeons. And the priest shall bring it unto the altar, wring off his head, burn it on the altar, and the blood thereof shall be wrung at the side of the altar. And he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers, and cast it beside the altar on the east part by the place of the ashes. He shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but he shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. Is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. In this offering, we have a number of very important ingredients of this offering that is called the burnt offering. And of course, the distinctiveness of the burnt offering is that all of this offering is burnt on the altar. All of the offering is burnt on the altar. It is all burnt on the altar, and the smoke of it ascends upward. And it ascends upward to God. And the Bible says it is a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. The first three offerings are a sweet savor offering, a sweet smelling offering, an offering that is sweetness in the sight of God as it ascends up to Him figuratively in the smoke as a picture of an offering given by God. The Bible tells us, first of all, the kind of animals that were to be given in this offering. These were to be, first of all, animals that were domesticated animals. These were not carnivorous animals. These were not animals that lived by killing other animals. That would not be a suitable picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were clean animals versus unclean animals. They were animals that were owned. They were endeared to an owner. If you are a farmer, or if you know anything about farming, a lamb without blemish, or a bullock of the flock of the cattle without blemish. It's no small thing. These animals, it meant something. It meant something that was expensive. It was something that was owned. It was something that was endeared to the owner. They were domesticated animals. They were not wild animals. They were animals that were under the authority of their master. And of course, it reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He was endeared to the Father. The Bible says, look, the Lamb of God. He was precious in the sight of the Father. You know, what kind of an offering is it to God if it doesn't cost you anything? What kind of offering is it to God if it has not any special meaning to you? What kind of offering is it to God if you are not endeared to it? This was a precious animal out of the flock. The Bible says, let him offer a male without blemish. You know, of course, we recognize that the principle without blemish is very important. And it's very important because only an animal without blemish could represent Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that God made him sin for us who knew no sin. It tells us in Hebrews 9, and let's go there. I think it's better if we turn there than I quote these verses. Hebrews chapter number 9. It says in verse 14. If you're there, raise your hand and I'll know you're there. Everybody there? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Offered himself without spot to God. First Peter, just a few chapters further. First Peter chapter 1. And verse number 18. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. This is pictured in this lamb that is prescribed for the Jewish people in the tabernacle worship, we have the privilege of looking back and seeing it clearly. But God in His grace was revealing to the people of God His Son, the coming Messiah. He was revealing to His people the only way to have access to God. He was telling them the hows and the whys and the wherefores of worship of the God of heaven. And so the Lamb was to be without blemish. If His offering be a Leviticus chapter 1 verse 3 again, turn back there. If His offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will. This is certainly a picture of the Lord Jesus. For why did the Lord Jesus come into this world? He came into this world of His own voluntary will. He came into this world of His own choosing to die for you and I. Let's turn to Philippians chapter number 2. Keep your fingers there in Leviticus. Philippians chapter 2. Verse number 6. Number 5. Philippians chapter 2. Everybody there? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But He made Himself of no reputation. He took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is interesting. In this offering, it speaks of a voluntary offering. Later on, we'll look at the sin offering, and this is an offering that is commanded. And we find both aspects in the Lord Jesus Christ. We also find a very great truth here that we'll come back to. So we find the kind. It was one that was owned. It was domesticated. It was clean. It was endeared. It was not carnivorous. It was without blemish. Because our Savior was without spot. It was without blemish because in the offerings, the best always belongs to God. in the offerings, in the worship of God, the best always belongs to God. Turn to Malachi chapter 1. The last book in the Old Testament, right before the book of Matthew. Malachi chapter 6, the Lord is rebuking the people of Israel. And because the people of Israel were not worshiping God with their best. Malachi 1:6, a son... Oops, I'll wait for you to get there. Now here's still some pages. If you're still going, don't make silent pages. Make them noisy so I know you're looking. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? Or if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And yet ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for a sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord? Obviously, he would not be pleased. And then, of course, verse 13. He also said, behold, what a weariness it is. And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord. Now here we find a great principle that only Christians understand. Here's a great principle only born-again believers understand. Heathen, secularists, don't understand this principle. Only those who know the Lord Jesus understand this principle. Because God gave His best. God gave His Son. And only an offering of the best would rightly picture the Lord Jesus Christ. And only those who have truly been born again would understand and recognize that an offering to God is always and must always be our best. What an important truth. As God prescribes His worship, only that which is the best is acceptable. But I think you'd understand why I could say only a born-again believer would understand that. Because only a born-again believer recognizes and understands that God had to give of His best for you and I to be redeemed from our sin. Notice It says that he shall offer it voluntarily. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us. But that he first loved us. Of course, the principle is for the Christian, whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him come. Voluntary worship is not worship that is not voluntary is not worship at all. Compulsive belief is not belief at all. Notice the next part of this. They are to bring this sacrifice at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. It's at the door of the tabernacle. Public worship. You know, everything about Christianity is public. He that will confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. He that will deny before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Public, unashamed worship. We live in a day of secret worship, don't we? Don't want anybody to know that you're Christian. I don't know how many times I've talked to different people at Maquonago High School over the years. And maybe someone gets saved. Maybe it's something like that. And I say, how many other people do you know in Maquonago High School that are saved? And when I ask that question, they can only go by what they see or what they have heard. And without exception, every time I've asked that to people, you know what they say? No one. No one. Now, I'm sure there's probably saved people from Quantico High School, but there's nobody living like it. There is no one that is speaking about it so that the average person even knows there's a born-again Christian there. We live in a day of secret disciples. But you know, it's interesting, hear this prescription for worship. At the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. We'd go preach a message on that one. Notice, it says, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. Now, I understand that this putting on of his hand, it's not just like a gentle little touch. It's the idea of putting it on heavily. It's the idea of putting it down there and laying his hand on that head. Because there's an important principle here. It's a principle of transfer. It's a principle of transfer. It's a principle that this innocent animal is their substitute. And this innocent animal whom they will kill, they are transferring to that animal in figure their sin. There's a transfer that takes place. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Verse number 14. Are you there? Good. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should henceforth, not henceforth live unto themselves, but in him which died for them. Verse 18. For all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 21, for he, that's God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, our substitute. So they lay their hands upon that animal, that dear, precious, costly animal, without blemish, without spot. They lay their hands upon him. And the picture is they're transferring their sin to that animal, which is a picture of Jesus Christ. And then, with their hand upon his head, laid heavy upon his head, they were to take the knife and they were to kill the animal. Not the priest, but they were. Why? Why? Because you know, it wasn't Caesar that put Christ on the, Pilate that put Jesus on the cross. It wasn't the Jews that put Jesus on the cross. It wasn't the Romans that put Jesus on the cross. It was our sin that put Jesus on the cross. And that worshiper, that offer, as they slashed the throat of that innocent animal, were taking responsibility that it was their sin that caused this innocent animal to have to be put to death. It was their sin, for the wage of sin is death. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Personal responsibility. And so there had to be the death of the animal. As you can think of this person laying his hands upon that animal, confessing all their sin, recognizing it was there that they could have no approach to a holy God except through a substitute. You know, a lot of people think that they can somehow make it to God. through some way that they have invented. All these religions of the world inventing some way that they can make it to God. And now we have all sorts of Christian religions that are watering down the gospel as though you can change the way to a holy God. But God was telling his people there's only one way to God. And so there was the shedding of the blood. The shedding of the blood. In whom we have redemption. Through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. Verse 5, and he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They shall sprinkle the blood. The sprinkling of the blood is symbolical of the application of the blood of this animal to the altar of God as the payment of man's sin. It's that great picture that we have in the scripture about the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's go there at Hebrews again. Hebrews chapter 9. And we'll look at verse 11. Start there. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not at this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and heifers and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And the priest, taking this offering, this blood and sprinkling upon an altar, prefigured the Lord Jesus, his blood that he was to offer once for all for man's sin. But in the burnt offering, the emphasis is not on the blood. The burnt offering obviously includes the death and the blood. The presentation of this offering to God as an atonement. Notice, he shall put his hand upon the burnt offering and it shall be accepted to him to make atonement for him. Now that word atonement is an important word. The word atonement is the word covering. Because in the Old Testament, the sins of men were not washed away. The sins of men were only covered. They were covered until the coming of the real Lamb, the Lord Jesus. And until that time, in the Old Testament, their sins were covered. As they put faith in the Lamb of God that was going to be slain. And today, We have more than covering. We have the washing away of our sins. But notice, it says, verse 6, and he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it in his pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire on the altar and lay the wood in order. And the priest Aaron's son shall lay the parts, the head, the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. And his inwards and his legs he shall wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar, to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Notice, the body was cut in pieces and laid upon the fire so they could be easily consumed. The inwards and the legs were cleaned so that there would be no impurity. So it would be fitting with the fact of a clean, spotless sacrifice picturing the Lord Jesus. But the picture is a burnt offering. It was all to be given. It was all to be consumed. It was all given as an offering to God. And that is what Jesus Christ did. He gave his all for you and I. He gave his all on Calvary's cross for you and I. The whole offering would ascend up to God, a holy God. And the Bible says that this offering was a sweet smelling savor. The Lord often said, the Father said of the Son, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." But this offering of Christ on Calvary's cross, this perfect Lamb of God, was a sweet smell in the sight of God. Now you think about it. You know, flesh burning in the fire doesn't smell too good. And you know, as they led the Lord Jesus to Calvary's cross, you know, the Bible tells us how they groaned and they wept as the Lord Jesus was led to Calvary's cross. But that offering up to God was a sweet-smelling Savior because the redemption of man was being accomplished. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 2. Let's look there as it gives us a parallel New Testament verse. As he gave himself in love for us. Ephesians 5 and verse 2. Raise your hand if you made it there so I can see if you made it yet. Okay. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. A picture of our Savior, the burnt offering. There's no other way to God. Then through His Son, the Lord Jesus. There's no other prescription. There is no other person who could have done it for us. He was the perfect Lamb of God, without blemish and without spot. The costliest of all gifts. But He gave Himself in love. I think you can see, all of a sudden, you can see what God is teaching us about worshiping God. Yes, this sacrifice, this offering, was a picture of Christ. But this was also one of the prescribed means of worshiping God. They were to worship voluntarily. God, with that which was precious and endeared to them. They were to worship God with the very best that they had. They were to worship God because of a substitute who had to die, an innocent substitute who had to die in their place. They could worship God because that substitute was acceptable to a holy God. And they could have their sins forgiven. Let us turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. When you find your place, raise your hand so I know everybody is there. Romans chapter 12. Everybody there? Okay. Verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, sacrifice without blemish, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove or show what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Your fingers are there. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse number 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, everything that we are is confined to this body. Everything we could do, everything we could be, everything that we think is confined to this body. And notice you said, I'm not asking you to put your dead body on the altar. But I'm asking you to give all that you have to live for Jesus Christ. The best that we have, not the leftovers. The best that we have. That's why young people ought to surrender their life to God as young as possible. Why? To give their best to God. Not to give their leftovers when their body is old and their mind is frail and their ability is limited. But when their body is strong and their mind is bright and their soul is clean, to give God their all. Not the leftovers. Not the leftover after sin. Not the leftover after pleasure. Not the leftovers, young person. The burnt sacrifice. We give our best to God. You know, blessing that sometimes at camp, there's people that give their best to God. I remember a missionary one time, they got a package in the mail, a Christmas package. They had to go and pay customs on this Christmas package that they could not afford to pay. It was a lot of money. And they basically had to take their Christmas money and get this package from the mail. And when they got it, used clothing, holes, worn. We don't give God our leftovers. You know, that's how unsaved people think. That's how lost people think. You know what? If we know Jesus, we understand that He gave us His best. And we ought to worship God with our best. Now, no matter where we are in life, if you have been saved from that point on, we worship God by giving Him our best. We worship God by giving Him our all. You know, another way of putting it is being willing to go all the way for God. How many people They got limits. This is only, I'm only going to go so far. Lord, I'm only going to serve you so much. I'm only going to obey you so much. Now the serious point of this is, folks, is the Bible is telling us that is unacceptable to God. As much as we don't like, and I don't like saying this, but as much as we don't like it, it isn't pleasing to God. We don't give God our leftovers. We don't give God our lives after we lived it for ourselves. Worship that is acceptable and pleasing to God is pictured by the burnt offering. The man willingly and gladly takes one of the best of their flock and brings it to the tabernacle. Laying their hands upon this precious animal, this innocent animal, because they are a sinner. And there's nothing they can do to take care of their sin. But it was their sin. That had to be taken by an innocent. Pointing to the Lord Jesus. And the blood is sprinkled on the altar. And the animal's cut in pieces. And the whole animal is burnt. And the secularist says, what a waste. And the secularist says, what a waste. The secularist says, give of your best to God? What a waste. But the person who knows the great price that God paid for our sin says, this is the very least that I could do. The songwriter said, were the whole realm of nature mine, it were a present far too small. Are we worshiping God with our best? Have you said, well, you know, I'm going to keep living my half-hearted Christian life. Well, maybe a couple years before I die, I'll give what's left over to God. Maybe you're a young person, you say, you know, I got things to do. I got plans. When they're all over, what's left, you know, get to be 30, 40. Well, maybe I'll serve God. You say, you know, I'm going to obey God, but go all the way? Not a chance. I got my own life to live. It almost sounds like the Lord Jesus Christ hasn't got a hold of your heart. It sounds like there's something missing in your experience of the spotless Lamb of God who gave himself for us. Today, as a believer, God has prescribed how we're supposed to worship him. He's given to us in his book what is acceptable worship. Even though today it is considered acceptable to give God our leftovers or half of our heart or half of our life, according to this book, it is not. And perhaps today, each one of us ought to search our hearts. Let us search our hearts as to who the Lord Jesus Christ is to us. Today it would be acceptable, an aroma pleasing unto God, if God's people would say, here's my life. I'm going to give it all to live for you. I'm going to give my life a living sacrifice to live the rest of my days as an offering acceptable unto a loving God who died in my place. Perhaps you're here today and you need to come to Jesus Christ. You need to come to God, or go to God through Jesus Christ. You need to lay your hands on Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, only one qualified to take away your sin and to come and put all your sin on him. For there's none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. And because the Lord Jesus Christ, his death was pleasing in the sight of God, and his blood was the payment of our sin, you can have forgiveness of sins and eternal life and have fellowship with the Holy God. I trust today you realize that God has provided a way for you and I. It is clear. It is the only way that you can come to God. It is by Jesus Christ. Will you turn to Jesus Christ today? Will you receive him? You can have your sins forgiven, because he presented himself before God without spot and wrinkle, with his precious blood as the payment of our sin. But I wonder today, are we Christians today like the apostates in Malachi's day, who thought they could give the leftovers to God? And yeah, we are in a day of apostasy. We are in a day of decline. We are in a day of lukewarmness. But that doesn't make half-hearted Christianity acceptable to God. The acceptable sacrifice is the burnt sacrifice. All on the altar, we sing that song. That's the song we're going to close with. is they're all on the altar of sacrifice laid. Before we do, let's pray. Father, we thank you today that we can be reminded of our Savior who gave himself for us. And Lord, we're ashamed of the fact that too much of the time we've allowed a secular, materialistic, selfish world tell us how we can worship you. And yet, Lord, your word is made very clear that because the Lord Jesus was going to give himself his all for us, and that giving of his all is pictured in the burnt sacrifice, is certainly, Lord, a picture of the proper approach to a holy God. Accepting his blood, his forgiveness of sins in Christ, and gladly worshiping him with our lives, presenting it without strings attached. Lord, might there be holy vows made in our midst even now, no longer to give God our leftovers, but to serve God with our best. Not to give him just part of us, but most of all of our heart. Not to limit the Lord, Lord, but for us to give ourselves all to you, all the way with God. And so, Lord, may your Holy Spirit bless the invitation. May even right there in that pew, decision be made to worship God with our best. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.